In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Never you think you are alone. Never you think you are alone. Emmanuel is with you. Your name is called. You never leave or forsake us. You are right here in this place. Your name is called. Wave your hands and give him praise. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we have come to hear from you. We honor you. We honor your word. Because you have exalted your word more than your name. And we know that your word is capable of changing our lives, transforming us into the image of Christ. And let every stronghold and everything that is not of God fall like a pack of cards from our lives. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. Let someone who has given their time to sit down and listen to your word tonight, by the time they stand up, may their miracles be waiting for them. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Please clap your hands for the King of Kings. Clap your hands for the King of Kings. Hallelujah. You're welcome to Pneumatech. Just shake hands with the person beside you and welcome them. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Are we excited to be here? And are you ready for the word? Someone's life will change today. From now till the Lord Jesus comes, and as it was in the beginning, even till now, the word of God remains the only catalyst for transformation. God cannot do anything in your life outside of his word. And so it's not a waste of time to sit down and hear God's word revealed and spoken in wisdom, with grace and power. And I pray that the word of God will profit our lives today. In Jesus' name. Can we sing a song before we get to the word? Amen. I say yes, it's a new song. Amen. In this song, you will clap. Amen. And you will clap. So I'll teach you the song. I will sing it. I believe that this song captures what we come to do in the house of God. Amen. The name of God be praised. Okay, let me teach you the drum line. All right? Doom, doom, ka, doom, doom, ka, doom, doom, ka, and you add your flow tone. Okay? So go. Yeah. Amen. I am playing now. Yes. Come to behold your face, your face, your face. We come to behold your face, your face. That's the song. Now, so it's not going to be consistent, okay? And then you slow the tempo down a bit so that they can catch. But when we modulate, then you can be consistent. Amen. If we don't sing, what will we do? Amen. So if you go to a church where the pastor is a drama person, they'll be acting drama always. Amen. Go to a church where the pastor is a singer, they'll be singing. I'm not a singer, but I preach, but I can sing sometimes. Amen. So let's go. All right. No, it's not your bass. Yes. Yes. Yes.
We've come to behold your face. Your face. Your face. Come to behold your face. Your face. Behold your face. It's too fast.
It's too fast. Yeah. Yeah.
Your face. We've come to behold your face. Your face. Behold your face.
Now clap.
Face, behold your face.
That's what will happen to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you excited? So we've got new songs coming every now and then. Amen. It's a sign of something, though. We are about to explode. Something major is coming upon this house. Those who understand the signs of the Spirit know that one of the best expression of joy is a song. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Joy always has a sound. The Bible says, the Lord is my salvation and has become my song. And so if God is giving us songs that are a product of joy, it means a new season is about to come for you. I said a new season is about to come for you. Sometimes we get used to the old season. We are not ready for the new season when it comes. I said a new season is coming to you. I said a new season is coming to you. Clap your hands if you believe you are the one. Okay, let's get to the word. Next week, we'll rehearse it more and then we'll do it in the miracle service. I want to teach briefly tonight on the believer's authority. Or you can put it like this, the authority of the believer. The believer's authority. May you never lose your song. May you never lose your song. All right, you like to sing, Reverend. Okay, let's get to the word. Let's go word mode now. Amen. But you know, that's a message of may you never lose your song. Anything that makes you lose your song, you've lost the next season. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In the midst of your pain and your hardship, God will always give you a song. That song is what you can hold on to till your morning comes. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Joy is coming for someone. Yeah. All right, let's get to the word. The believer's authority, or the authority of the believer. So this is our year of victory, and most of the sermons will be tailored by the help of the Holy Spirit towards understanding the word that has come forth for this year, and then channeling your life to experience victory on every side. Amen. Luke chapter 10 verses 19. Luke chapter 10 verses 19. There's somebody with pains on side of your body, your trunk, this part of the body, they call it trunk because it's made up of the abdomen. All right. Oh, let me not say that. Many of you are not medical people. Amen. But this side, from your chest downward, you can call it your trunk. There's somebody with pains on one side. A lady, God is healing you now. And on the strength of that, I rebuke every pain now under the sound of my voice. Before I finish reading this scripture, let that pain disappear forever. In Jesus' name. So you check yourself, it's gone. Luke chapter 10 verses 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Somebody say amen to that. I give you the authority. That tells you that authority is given. And I'm going to explain shortly what authority really is about so we can understand. But the authority that God has given us, as we see in this scripture, sets us above all the powers of the enemy. So the devil has power, and his kingdom works with a certain degree of power. But the Bible says God gives you authority over the power that the enemy has, such that nothing can by any means hurt you. So not only does authority set you above the power and the systems of darkness, it also keeps you immune to the attacks and the projections of the enemy. In John chapter 1 verses 12 to 13, the Bible still speaks about the authority that we have received as believers. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who, verse 13 now, were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This authority gives us the right to be sons of God. It gives us the right of sonship. Authority is power to be. Power to be. Authority is power to become. Power affects your doing. Authority affects your being. So he gave them power to become, or authority to become sons or children of God. So the authority you receive from God makes you a child of God. Power speaks of ability. Authority speaks of capacity. Power speaks of the potential to function. Authority speaks of the position of function. Pastor Zion is here with his lovely wife. Please help me give them a big God bless you. Come on, do it better for them. Good to have you back. I think this is the first time we are seeing this year. So happy new year in February. Amen. So do we understand that about authority? I want you to write this down. God gives us authority in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that his purpose can prosper through our lives. God gives us authority in his Son, so that his purpose can prosper through our lives. Of course, his Son is Jesus Christ, who, through whom we have now become sons. God gives us authority in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that his purpose can prosper through our lives. So the reason why God will give you the position to function, the reason why God will give you capacity to function in a way, is because of his purposes that must manifest through your life. The word authority can be explained to simply mean an author's right, the right of an author. It means delegated responsibility. So if I give authority to an individual or to a thing, I have given that thing the right of access to act on my behalf. If I'm to go for a meeting and I send somebody to represent me, I've given him the authority to stand on my behalf. Whatever he says, it will be written as I said. For instance, if the governor of a state is meant to be in a function and he cannot go, he sends a commissioner When you read the report of that meeting, it will be quoted that the governor said, even though the governor was not there in person, but he sent someone, he delegated his authority to somebody. That means in that occasion, the person will sit on the chair meant for the governor. He will receive the welcome and the honor meant for the governor. Everything that should have been done to the governor will be done to him. If there was a brigade or maybe a formation of a military salute or whatever, it will be done to him because authority has been delegated to him to act as the governor. When the Bible says he gave them the authority to become sons of God, it means he gave us the right to act as God on earth. That's why creation is waiting for the manifestation of sons of God, because the God they are looking for should clearly be revealed by the gods that have been given the right to represent God. And when I say gods, I'm talking about you and I. So the day you became a child of God, you received delegated authority to stand on behalf of God. That means you can speak, and it is as God speaking. Hence the reason why in Christianity, everything you do is cultured, because you are no longer your own. Your life is no longer yours. You are now modeling and representing a higher power. And so you can't live anyhow. You must live in such a way that your life mirrors the invisible creator. Do you understand what I'm saying? Imagine if somebody is going to represent the governor and he wears t-shirt and slippers, and you find a motorcade, police escorts, all kinds of SSS and everything, and they open the SUV and somebody jumps down with slippers and with t-shirt. That he is going to represent the governor has informed him well enough to pull down the stronghold of his village powers and have enough sense. Somebody say, to whom brain is given, sense is expected, to dress like somebody that represents the governor. That's why your life as a believer is cultured, because from the day you became a child of God, you received authority to act on behalf of God. In fact, when it comes to answering prayer, it's now a shared work. It's no longer up to God. As far as God is concerned, we as children of God now play a role in the answering of people's prayer. Why do you think God gave you so much money? Why do you think God gave you 2 bags of rice when you know you are the only person in your house? It's so that through the other bag of rice, you can answer somebody's prayer for lack of rice. And these are things you need to know. Otherwise, you will receive kingdom resources and you'll waste it. It's called authority. Somebody say authority. In Ephesians chapter 1 verses 20, we've not gone to the text. I'm just giving you 3 facts about authority before we go to the main lesson. In Ephesians chapter 1 verses 20 to 23, it explains the first point I just gave you. I said God gives you authority in his son Jesus Christ so that his purpose can prosper through your life. So the authority is in Christ Jesus. That means you must be in Christ Jesus to walk in that authority. And that makes you born again. In Ephesians 1 verse 20 to 23, we see Jesus Christ as the one exalted higher above everything, everyone and every name. The one who has sole authority and power. And he wants to manifest that authority and power through the church. And he put all things under his feet. When he say all things, he means how many things? And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the body is now, keep that scripture and give it to us in Message translation. The body of Christ is now the church. So if Jesus is the head over all, his headship over all is demonstrated by the position that the church now shares. Do you understand what I'm saying? that Christ is head over all will be demonstrated by our position and our function as the church on earth. So the amount of dominion we exercise over all things shows clearly that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. That means if there is a devil still ruling and reigning around any aspect of your life, you have not fully demonstrated to that devil that Christ is Lord over all. And tonight you will receive empowerment and enlightenment to bring into captivity anything around your life that boasts against God. This amen does not sound born again. Give us that scripture in Message translation quickly, please. It says the church, you see, it's talking about the church now, is not peripheral to the world. That means the world does not come before the church as far as the scale of authority is in the kingdom. He said the world is peripheral to the church. That means it's the church first that has authority to be demonstrated over the world. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. That means by this scripture, the presence of Jesus Christ is felt by the functioning of the church. So the church is the presence of Jesus Christ. That means if you are looking for Jesus Christ, who should you point to? The church. So you and I collectively understanding and walking in this wonderful gift that God has given to us called authority will help demonstrate that Jesus Christ has been exalted as Lord over all. Listen, if you are a skilled person, let's say you are a hairdresser, and then you train somebody, you release that person to go and practice on their own. Anywhere that person goes to practice, the dexterity they display for everybody to see is what will approve of your success as the one that trained that person. So the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, the proof that all that thing is true, that he has been resurrected and ascended high and he's Lord over all, the proof of that to the world and to Satan is the dominion that the church walks in and the understanding of the authority that the church has. That means Jesus is depending on you and I to understand and walk in our divine authority as a proof that he is Lord. I hope you got that. Number two, you can never take true authority. You can never take true authority. It is always delegated. It is always delegated. I said you can never take true authority, full stop. It is always delegated and must be received with gratitude and acted upon. It is always delegated. That means you can't have authority until it is given to you. Like we have been given authority in Christ Jesus. It is always delegated and must be received with gratitude and acted upon. That means we must be grateful for our salvation, that we have been brought to share in God's authority in Christ Jesus, and act with the consciousness that we have received divine authority. In John chapter 1 verse 12, where we read, the Bible says, to as many that believed in him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. And I told you that that power to become is the authority that we have as believers. It is the right of sonship. You have been given the right to live and act as a son or as a child of God. The right of sonship has three benefits. Number one, the right of sonship has three benefits. Number one, the right of access to the Father. That we are now children of God. There are three primary benefits to that. Number one, we have the right of access to the Father. That means God is no longer just creator to us. He is now Father. It means we have a relationship and we can fellowship with Him. We are now related to God. For you to be related to someone, you must share some fundamental things with that person. Humanly speaking, for you to be related to a person, you should share blood, DNA, and all of these things. You and God now share His Spirit. So you are related to God. So you are in the class of God. You are in the family of God. In fact, there are very few things that only God can do that you cannot do. And the reason for that is because of His exalted position as God over all. However, as far as God is concerned, you now have, number one, the right of access to the Father. Ephesians 2 verse 18 says, through Him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. 2 verse 18. Who is sitting on that thing? I need you to be smart, please. You have access to the Father. Do you know what that means? It means that in your personal fellowship with God, there is no protocol. It means I can say, thank you, Father. And prayer has started. It means you have God on speed dial. How many of you know what speed dial is? Right of access. Access. You are not going through anybody. You have gone through already. The veil of His flesh has been torn. So you now live there. Imagine if you were sleeping by a pot of chocolate. Don't be quiet. Some of you are addicted to chocolate. Anytime you go to ice cream store, that's what you buy. Chocolate, you know. Okay, chocolate is not better. Imagine if you are seated by a small basket of dollars. Oh, you love it. If you are waiting for God to do that one, you will wait in vain. Oh. Some of you just wish that God should just sew bedsheet from heaven with dollars and send it. There are things you know as you grow in the kingdom. You will not need that kind of a miracle. Because it becomes natural for you. You become valuable enough and you become so productive that money begins to answer to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because there are different sets of people in the kingdom. There are those who always ask for money. They need money. There are those who need money. There are those who money answers to. When you understand the value of what you carry inside of you and how productive it makes you. Just like now that people are losing jobs because one person stood up and made a policy. Do you know that in the midst of that, there are people whose organization, just not to let them go, they are creating new portfolio, sacking people to convert their money to pay this one person. What's the difference between the two? Both have head. One is valuable and knows he's valuable. The other one still doesn't know who they are. So there are those who need money. There are those who money answers to. Let me not go too far. I can't wait for the day we start talking on finance. You know, throughout last year, we didn't do any discussion on finances. All right. So you have the right of access to the Father. Galatians 3:26. What does it say? For you are all sons of God. You are how many? You are
You are. If God hears my prayer, God can hear your prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the disadvantages of some of these testimonies, maybe the only disadvantage, is that when you say, I met Apostle in prayer, someone says, I have to go and meet. Listen, we are all sons of God. God hears me as he hears you. The difference between you and I is I'm more conscious of who I am. And you tonight must be so conscious that you are a son of God. And every time you walk around, people have found God's address. The day you start living in that mentality, that's the day you know what it means to be a child of God. A life of unending wonders. Number two, the right of sonship. Benefits of the right of sonship, or benefits of the authority of a believer. Number two, the right of access to the mysteries of God. You can also call it the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, a mystery is a hidden secret. It's one thing for something to be a secret, and it's another thing for you to say a hidden secret. It's a secret because it's hidden. But when you say a hidden, because in the Greek, the word mystery is the word mysterion. It means hidden secret. Not only is it a secret, but you need to be part of something for it to be revealed to you. That means in the kingdom, we are all children of God, but there are mysteries that are hidden to some people. So, you need to be a child of God and have the Holy Spirit to have access to this secret. Why do we say secret? That's because the reason why God is God is because of the secret he has. The side of him that we don't know. What makes him God is that we don't know all of him. And it is that side that we don't know that powers the possibilities we see in the physical. Everything working in the kingdom, all the systems of the kingdom, power, healing, wisdom, grace, everything working in the kingdom as a system needed for the believer is hanging, or it is sustained by certain principles that are mysteries. So, the benefit of authority is your right of access to those secrets. God can share it with you. And because God can share it with you, you can manipulate the system to favor you. Now, I hope you know that not every spirit in the kingdom of God has access to the mysteries of God. Because in the kingdom of God, you have God, you have sons of God, whose we are. And of course, that word sons of God, if you read it in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, Elohim, it means many things. It means any spirit, generally is a compound word to mean any spirit that proceeded from God. So that phrase son of God or sons of God in the Old Testament, when you read it in the original Hebrew, it's the word Elohim. Anything that has I am is a plural in the Hebrew language. I'm saying Hebrew because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Now, sons of God means generally any spirit that proceeded from God. So it can be the Holy Spirit, it can be you and I, Jesus, it can be angels. Are you seeing that? However, when it comes to the mysteries of the kingdom, not all angels are spirits, but not all angels have access to them. But as a son of God, you have access to all the mysteries of the kingdom. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 13, I believe in verse 11 thereabout, he said, to you it has been given. You know why he said to you? Because they were going to be the first sort of people that will be born again. And it later happened in John chapter 20 when Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection. The Bible says he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That was when the disciples became born again. Because when you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. That's why I said, to you it has been given. So for now, till you become born again, I'll be explaining the ones that you hear. Then when you become born again and have the Holy Spirit, you will be brought into the knowledge of the truth. That means you have access. Do you know that when you pray in tongues, you are dangling around mysteries, secret principles, powerful principles that are mysteries in the kingdom? This is not I'm not talking to mature. This is a basic. What I'm saying is basic. It will sound matured if your Christian experience has not been balanced. You have not been taught the truth. You don't know the foundation of the word of God that should help you grow. These are the first things you need to know as a child of God. When you become born again as a child of God, the first thing to do is not to take care of the demons of your father's house. It's to know who you are now. The moment you have finished that class, it's not every spirit you will bind in your father's house. Some will just spark. In 1 Corinthians, you know, when the Bible says we have the when I say that we have the right of access, it means that by revelation we can understand the things of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9 down to verse 16, one of my favorite scripture in the Bible, it says, "But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared to them that love him." Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit." So, everybody has eyes and ears and heart, but they can't hear or see or understand the things of God. But for us, it has been revealed to us by his Spirit. It says, "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God." Verse 11 says, "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so, knoweth no one the things of God, save the Spirit of God." Verse 12 says, "But we have received the Spirit, not of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God." So these mysteries we are talking about, when you come into the understanding of them, you know the possibilities that have been given to you, the inheritance that has been given to you, the power that has been allotted to you as a child of God, the things at your disposal. What a good God we serve, that when you get into the kingdom, the first thing he wants you to know are the things he has already laid up for you. You know, some of you come from families where you suffered poverty, that they were waiting for you to finish school, so that once you finish school, you start sharing your salary with... how many of you came from that kind of a family? Okay, that means everybody came from there. The way you are not raising up your hand. So, you know, those families, they will say, there's a proverb they usually quote. This is Africa. It's not like in America or where they have government starts paying you from 18 years. They have fund for this, they have fund for that. That's the reason why their children, they are rebellious. The government takes care of them. They have everything. You are lazy. You're not working, but money is entering your account, even though it's debt. If you should take that rebellious black American and bring into Nigeria, a Nigerian family, where when you become, in fact, from 16 years, they start rehearsing to you that, you know, you are, after your birthday, 16 years, you sit down with your father and say, "You know, you are becoming a man now." So, for a lady, when you become 25, they say, "When are you bringing a man?" You know what they are saying? They are giving you quit notice. Leave the house. That's what they are saying indirectly. But not so with your earthly father. The moment you become born again, the first thing he wants you to know are the things that have been freely given to you by God. Verse 13 says, "Which things also we speak, not with the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." In the Living Bible translation, that verse says, using spiritual language to explain spiritual truth. That means these things, the code of access to these things are a language that the Spirit will teach you. Which is why speaking in tongues is fundamentally a gift from the Holy Ghost to every believer. Because that's the language of access. You know, when you want to access a box, a saving box, or maybe a vault in the bank, there are codes you must punch ahead to have access to. The access code to the vault of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's why it is a common gift for every believer. That's the first thing you should activate when you get born again. Because every time you speak in tongues, you are accessing the things that have been freely given. What are these things? Power, wisdom, riches, blessings, health. For instance, you can speak in tongues and one day you will come into the understanding that there's an anointing on your life. And when you begin to maximize that anointing, you can use it to exchange for resources. I'm not saying you will market it, but people will so enjoy that thing coming from you because of the value it brings to their life that they will find it befitting to exchange resources for that. You think you'll be poor after that? Are you here? Let me save you the remaining scriptures. Okay, let's finish it. Verse 14 now says, but a natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Go to verse 16. He said, but verse 15 rather. He says, but a spiritual man understands all things. That is a statement of fact that by experience with the Holy Ghost you can come into. You see that statement? But he who is spiritual judges. The word judge means to understand, to perceive. Do you know what it means to understand all things? Naturally, for you to understand a thing, you need to be taught that thing. But when you become a born-again child of God and you carry the Holy Ghost, you are now spiritual. Your class has been elevated. By the presence of the Holy Ghost in you, your understanding becomes super spiritual, hyperactive. You can know things you are not taught. Somebody needs to be trained by the police as a detective to know when somebody is lying or not. Know when they use that for their investigation. But a spiritual man, we no go school, can look at a person and scan their heart and say, this is the thief. And it's 10 over 10. Where did he learn that? That's the upgrade that happens the moment you become born again. That's why I don't joke with this Holy Spirit that God has given. I say it again and again. When God gave the Holy Spirit, he gave everything. There's nothing he can give again. It's like crude oil. Imagine if there's crude oil in your compound. You have mind to pray the next day, God provide. But some of you, you don't have crude oil, but there are gifts sitting in you. Some of you, you can count at least 12 things you can do naturally. Nobody taught you. You are still joining people to pray and say, God provide. May God deliver us by knowledge. I say, may God deliver us by knowledge this year. By knowledge. By knowledge. By knowledge, not getting spirit out of us. No, it's knowledge. Some of you, though, you are not even suffering from a spirit. It's fear. You are just your ignorance has sponsored fear. The day knowledge comes from the word of God, that fear will disappear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are things you can know. You know that there are dreams I don't even pray about. Yeah, I've taught you before that when you see a bad dream, wake up and counter it in prayer. But as I grew in understanding, there is a realm I sit in as a child of God that is far above principalities and powers. When I see a bad dream, it's the devil's bluff. I call his bluff by not praying about it. If you get mine, go and manifest it. You know the devil, now that we are born again and now that Jesus died on the cross, he has given us access to the Father. And he is there at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for us, pleading for us. And the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. So, It can't happen like the days of Job, where Satan will go and meet God and take permission to try you. If at any time you are going through trials, Satan did not ask for permission. That thing does not hold in the New Testament again, because he has lost his place to ask for permission. The accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So that window has been closed for the devil. So for him to attack you, he needs your permission. How? He shows you a bad dream, which is his intention. If I have my way, this is what I will do in your life. So you collect it in the dream. You wake up and you begin to exercise fear because of what you saw. That's the permission you gave the devil to attack. But sometimes I wake up from the bad dream and go about as if he didn't do anything, because it's not given to him. That's what frustrates the devil most. When he rages around you and you are standing still, as if nothing's happening around you. I want you to open your heart this year, because when we pump the word of God into you, if you can believe it, can you pray in the spirit for 1 minute? I'd like you to just pray in the spirit and ask the Lord to open your understanding. Open my understanding. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. 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 Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Hallelujah. God will open our understanding this year. Number 3 benefit of this authority that we have in Christ Jesus: it gives you the right of access to walking in divine power. The right of access to walking in divine power. So the first one is the right of access to the Father, that is fellowship. The second one is the right of access to the mysteries of God, that is revelation. The third one is the right of access to walking in divine power, that is manifestation. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses. That means the moment you receive the Holy Ghost, you now have the right to walk as one that produces proof that Jesus is alive. If he's alive, he can heal the sick. If he's alive, he can make the poor rich. If he's alive, he can set the captive free. If he's alive, he can command deliverances unto Jacob. You are now a proof producer. So God is depending on your life every day to produce at least one proof that he is alive and is on the throne. You can't live a beggarly Christian life when you understand that. By the time we are done with this service, some of you will look for fear and you will not find it in your life. Romans 8:19 says, creation waits for the manifestation of the sons, meaning waiting for us to walk in divine power. As a benefit of the authority that we have received, divine power. Ephesians 1:18-19, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, what is the glorious riches of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to them that believe, according to the working of his mighty power. There are 5 words there for power, actually. There's no time to go into that, but this 5 words of for power shows you different layers of power you can walk in. Now, ignorance of your authority as a believer. If you don't know that you now have authority as a child of God. I'll show you two scriptures. Anytime there is ignorance, people suffer. You always pay a price negatively when you are ignorant of any truth. Psalms 49 verse 20. May this not be the life of anybody listening in Jesus' name. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that... The highest honor in the kingdom is the honor of sonship, that we have been given authority as sons of God. Now, a believer that does not know that God has honored him by giving him this authority, and I've listed to you three of many benefits that this authority gives you. If you don't know that this is what you have, he said you'll be like a beast. Do you know that animals live according to time and chance? They don't know when they will die. So all they do is wake up and look for food. Eat, sleep, and mate. That's all they do till death meets them. It is we humans or animals like them that decide their fate. There are many Christians living like that, like animals. They can be a victim at any time. What kind of a life is that? That's not the life God promised you in Christ Jesus. Somebody deceived you to thinking that's the life. A life where you don't have a say over your decisions. A life where any demon can just barrage into your life and initiate some nonsense pattern, and you can just be a victim at any time of anything. No! That's not the life God promised you. When you begin to walk in this honor of sonship, it can take the devil 20 years to attack you once. And it will have to be by your carelessness. And the moment you discover the devil is involved, even before you start activating countermeasures, he backs off. Because he knew that you have... The reason why he could not get you for 20 years is because you know so much to keep him at bay. You know what Jesus told Pilate? When Pilate said, "I have the power to set you," he said, "No. Even you, that risk position, that you are the pilot when I'm about to die, it was determined by God." I say, just in case you think I want to fight, if I wanted to fight, I can call down 12 legions of angels from my Father. You see this thing? I gave myself to die. Jesus said, "I lay down my life and I pick it up again. No man taketh it from me." When will a child of God say that? That when it's time for me to die, I will sleep and not wake up. We allow sicknesses, we allow diseases, we allow demons. Now there's a ministry of deliverance. I don't think God ever... there are things in the kingdom that was not part of God's original purpose. God had to introduce them as makeshift arrangement. I can give you the examples. Number one, healing is not God's ultimate plan for you. It's health and long life. "I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Healing was introduced as to remedy the situation till your understanding grows to capture the fact that he has given you life. Then you enter. That's why they do remedials in the university. Pass, then you can now enter. But you can pass jam and enter the university. You don't need remedials. Deliverance is not God's original plan. Because when God created man, in Genesis 1, you didn't see any devil there. In Genesis 2, you didn't see any devil there. God said, "Rule, subdue, and have dominion." But deliverance has now been introduced. And sadly, it has become a thriving ministry until the body of Christ... I hope you know that's the reason why the fivefold offices were given. He said, "Till we all..." That means there is an end in God's plan where the fivefold ministry will end somewhere. He said, "Till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God." When we all come to that place of maturity, fivefold ministry ends. It's now the manifestation of sons. If nobody told you, I'm telling you now. Every time I see people healed in my ministry, I thank God, but I know that's not God's original plan. So I can't build my ministry around healing. I build my ministry around what I'm saying to you now. because healing can cease, but this one will abide. Man that is in honor and doesn't know is like a beast. You will not be a casualty in this life. I move you today from being a victim to becoming a victor. If we scrutinize very well, some of you, the devil is not responsible for some things in your life. Some of you, the devil does not even have the power enough to be responsible for that problem. It's your ignorance that is sponsoring it. It's not all of us that are poor because Satan is attacking us. Some of you, God is waiting for the day you will get sense and become wealthy. Claim your heritage. How does riches come? By wisdom. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 8:8. He said, by me comes riches and honor and life. It's not everybody that is broke now that is there's a devil responsible. No. The devil can be your ignorance. For many people, the devil is their ignorance. The devil is your ignorance. And that's why you must invest in knowledge. Make sure you are planted in a church where the truth of God's word is spoken. Psalms 82 verse 5 to 7 says, they know not, neither do they understand. They walk in darkness. As a result, the foundations of the earth are out of course. It says, I have said, ye are gods and children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Even though you have authority as a son of God, but it's possible that you will still die like a mere man or fall like one of the princes. I'm going to explain this verse much later. Why? Because verse 5 says, they know not, neither do they understand. If you don't know and understand the authority that you now have as a believer, the devil will ride you. Demons will use you to play tennis. You'll be a victim of situations and circumstances. Your life will be an experiment. You'll be a guinea pig in the lab of demons and situations. God gives you deliverance from that kind of life today. I am come that they may have life. A life of sonship. Life of authority. There are two reasons why we have authority over Satan. Just two major reasons as I studied. Well, first of all, when we talk about authority, we are talking about position. We are talking about jurisdiction. Yes, you have the right to act, but there is a jurisdiction that contains your right of action. Lawyers will understand this because these are legal terms now. So what is the jurisdiction of our authority? As believers, we have authority, number one, over the earth. We have authority over the earth. Psalms 115 verse 16 says, the heaven of heavens belong to God, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. Psalms 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And if he is the Lord of the earth and the earth belongs to him and we are his children, it means that the earth is our own. My father's car is whose car? My car. Some of you come from families where the car is like egg. Nobody touch it. Nobody touch it. One day the man will be sick and he will say, please take the car and go to. And when you drive and come back, he will not ask you, how did you learn to drive? You have authority over the earth. Psalms 2 verse 7 to 8. Verse 8 says, ask of me and I will give you the hidden as your possession, as your inheritance, and the uttermost ends of the earth, even the whole earth, as your possession. God gave the whole earth to Abraham. And in Christ Jesus, we are Abraham's seed. That means we are heirs of God. And that means the earth belongs to us. Do you believe that when you walk around, that you have authority over the earth? there is no place, you, as long as there is sand there, as long as there is earth there, you have authority over that place. You can speak to the air, speak to the atmosphere, speak to the people there, because as a son of God, you have authority over the earth. So the next time a witch is troubling somebody in your family, send a message to the witch. As long as your two legs are touching the ground, in 7 days time. Why? Because as a child of God, you have authority over the earth. He said, I will ask of me and I will give you the ends of the earth as your possession. Alabakaya. Didn't he say in Jeremiah 22:29, oh earth, hear the word of the Lord. Number two, you have authority over creation. All of creation, you have authority as a child of God. Number three, you have authority over Satan and his spirits. We saw it in Luke 10:19. I give you authority to tread upon snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means. Nothing means nothing. Nothing means nothing. Nothing means nothing. Nothing. Number three or number four, you have power or authority over situations and circumstances. Yeah, you have authority over situations and circumstances. Jesus demonstrated that authority on our behalf. When they woke him up from sleep, the Bible says he rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea, and there was a great calm. He did that miracle 3 times. You know, when you do it once, they'll say it's coincidence. He did it 3 times, made them know, say, yes, I get him. In fact, the second time, he allowed them to go into the sea. He stayed and I don't know whether he was praying, whatever. He was praying there. Then he strode on the sea. Let them know that I have it. And then when they saw him, they said, hey, ghost! He said, no. Came. And the Bible says, this time, as soon as he entered the boat, there was calm. You have authority over the storms of life. Yes. It's a different thing when God is allowing you to go through trials. But do you know that even in trials, there is a level of encroachment that Satan should not go beyond? Some of you don't even know. It's like somebody who bought a land and didn't go to put beacons or fence it. They will encroach into your land till you come and see quarter plot. And everybody will claim. You see the way land grabbers are. That's how demons are. They know it's your land, but they're... Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when you go there with a truck full of soldiers, everybody will park well. When you understand your authority and you walk with a command of angels, they'll park well. You have authority over the storms of life. You can go back today and address any storm in your life. And by tomorrow evening, there is victory. Don't let anybody fool you. It's not every time that you should pray. There are times where you just need to speak to the storms. He can hear you. What else? You have authority over nature. You have authority over nature. She got married at 49. She has passed menopause. Go and be fruitful. She comes back 50 years. She now has a child. At 52, she gives birth to twins. But she was supposed to have been paused. Because somebody has authority over nature. Lester Sumrall, one of the great apostles of the last century, who understood the authority that he had in Christ Jesus. This man understood it so well that he held a woman who was not married and he told her, you will give birth to 3 children. And they will all be boys. Guess what? He left that place. The woman got married. First child. He traveled, left that country. First child, boy. Second child, boy. Third child, boy. Womb close. Authority over nature. Saint Patrick spoke to a snake. You and your kind, I banish you from Ireland. And in the whole Republic of Ireland, there is no snake. Till today, St. Patrick lived more than 300 years ago. One man demonstrated authority over nature. He's dead, but he's still standing. There are people who are alive, but they talk. Even mosquitoes cannot move. I'm saying this so that you can be provoked today and begin to live in your God class as a child of God. Somebody shout amen to that. You were here when I came up at the miracle service and said I commanded the heat that came in January. I told it to return back at the last week of February. It has come back. Somebody met me this week and said I should tell it to put. I said no, it's good it came back early so that rain can fall in April or May. And as I said it will happen. Not as an apostle, as a child of God that understands my authority. Talk. If you claim that I should always be speaking for you, are you going to follow me everywhere? One day you will learn to regulate your own space. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? In fact, there are only two people we don't have authority over: God and angels. Because angels partner with us. They minister for, not to us. They minister for us. And God, because He is God. Otherwise, there is nothing in this earth you don't have authority over. Even if you go back tomorrow and speak and nothing happens, this still doesn't change it. A child will walk one day, even if he can't walk now. It will definitely walk one day. Can we close now? So we have authority over the devil because of two reasons that I found out. Number one, two reasons why we have authority over the devil. Number one, he is a fallen prince. He's a fallen prince. Now go back to that scripture, Psalms 82, verses 7. He said, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. I hope you know Satan, when he was Lucifer and he was in heaven, he was a prince. Just like Michael. But when he rebelled against God, he was cast down. He fell. Meaning he lost his authority. So Satan no longer has authority. He now has power. Just power. He no longer has authority as a prince of God. As a son of God, he no longer has that authority. Because he is fallen, we have authority over him. Now, the reason why we have authority because he's fallen is because we have been exalted to sit with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That means in heaven, you are seated on the same level with Christ Jesus. You share in his authority. But Satan lost his own and fell. Anything that falls loses its authority. When we talk about falling, we're not just talking about falling like this. No. It means when you are displaced from your position of authority in God's kingdom. Now, the twist of that is, anytime you begin to measure your life using the indices of this earth, anytime you begin to compare yourself with unbelievers, anytime you begin to compare yourself with earthly things, you are falling. You are falling to Satan's realm, so he can now have authority over you. That's why I say you shall die like men or fall. Why? Because you are ignorant of your position as a child of God, as a prince. And many of us do that. Must you get married with your friends because they are getting married now? Must you get married at the same time? The moment you begin to think, because she's getting married, I must marry now too. You have started measuring, you are using earthly indices. In the race of destiny, you people are worlds apart. God has timing allocated to all of you. The moment you do that, you have fallen from your position of authority. You are now sharing in the same place with Satan. He can manipulate you. Yes. That's the point depression comes. Suicidal thought comes. You become worried. Anxiety. They know not, neither do they understand. I have said, ye are gods and children of the Most High, but you shall die like mere men, or fall like one of the princes. May you not be a fallen prince. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12, that they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Thank God he got married now. But the fact that we are age mates does not mean that we are destiny mates. There's a time allocated. Somebody this year does Yahoo and he makes money. You now start saying, is my God asleep? Oh God, arise. Why will you say that? Because you saw somebody who sold his soul to the devil. His God is a fallen image. Your God is still alive and he's training you for something that will last. This one has already traded his future for it. The moment you begin to... The reason why we have authority over Satan is because he is fallen. If you begin to measure yourself by the indices of life, or you compare yourself with people, you too will fall. And you can be manipulated. You are in his realm. That's when you become depressed now. I will never compare myself with anybody. I'm Jonathan. Case closed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can admire people's result, because whether they use God or Satan to get it, they still use principles. Even Yahoo get principles. But I can admire your result, but I will not use that to measure with my destiny. Let me tell you the truth. You don't need to do anything to be accepted as a child of God. You were accepted even when you were still a sinner. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while we were dead in sin, he quickened us and made us alive. If you didn't do anything to receive this honor as a child of God, who told you that your life must produce results for God to be favorably disposed towards you? Is that not a partial God? God called us to be. Your doing is a product of the understanding of who you are, and not vice versa. Somebody say amen to that. Never you sit down one day and sleep and think, oh, Janet is marrying today. Why? When am I going to get? And then you put yourself under some unnecessary pressure. And when you pressurize God too much, beauty will marry beast. Because you are not, the reason why you are pressurizing God too much for just marriage without understanding your timing is because you have been fooled to think that marriage is the purpose of your destiny. Did God create you and invest himself in you just for you to get married? Am I saying marriage is bad? It's a different thing when you know it's your time and the devil is trying to play games like a hyena. You stand up like a lion and it will disappear. That one is a different thing. But when it's not time and you are putting pressure on God, just like, I have to say it like this because, you know, I'm under pressure from some people. Some of you just need to wait. Wait for your appointed time. Wait. 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 Even if your appointed time is 40, wait. The woman that got married to Dr. W.F. Kumuyi after his first wife died, she is now known among millions of women. But she married at 60 years. Don't you think there were some times she thought that, maybe village powers, maybe this one, maybe. Wait for your time. Number two reason why we have authority over the devil is because we are in Christ. And Christ has triumphed over him. Colossians 2 verse 10 says, and you are complete in him who is the head over principalities and powers. He's the head over them all. And you are complete in him. So we have authority over the devil because we are in Christ. Revelation 12 verse 10. And they overcame him. How? By the blood. Simple. So outside of Christ Jesus, you stand no match with the devil. But in Christ Jesus. That's why when you are going into spiritual warfare, the first thing you must be conscious of is that I am going in the name of whose I am. and whom I serve. The devils will not run because you are anything. They will run because you know that you are one in Christ or with Christ. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Let's close now. So how do I attain this authority? Just one thing you must do. Be born again. Be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means to be born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter or perceive the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes to. So are they who are led by the Spirit or born of the Spirit. When you are born again, it means your new life is now in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is living that life through you. Once you are born again, you now have authority. Nothing more than that. There's nothing you pay. There's nothing you will do. You see that it's not in your doing, it's in your being. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What will happen to you now is you begin to grow into different layers of that authority. Right? A general is a general. But there are 1-star generals, there are 2-star generals, 3-star generals, 4-star generals, 5-star generals, but all of them are. So how do I grow in my authority as a believer? Or how do I exercise? That's another thing. How do I exercise my authority as a believer and grow in it? 5 points and we'll pray. Number one, walk in the Spirit. Now that you are born of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to follow the leading of the Spirit. It said, the wind blows where it listeth. You can't tell where it is coming from or where it is going to. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That means they will not be able to know what is influencing you, but they cannot deny your influence. What is the source of the wind? You don't know. Can you see the wind? No. But if the wind they blow, you go no say they blow. Good. They will not deny your impact. They will not deny your influence. Look at that result. 7 A's and 3 B's. But they can't tell what is influencing you. So now that you are born of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Allow Him to lead you. Allow Him to guide you in everything you do. And that's where many of us miss it. One mistake you have made, or for some of us that we make, is that we are born of the Spirit. But when it came to this particular journey, you didn't ask for the Holy Spirit's help. You feel you know what to do. And as you step out, you landed in trouble. It doesn't mean you are not born of the Spirit. You just decided not to be led of the Spirit that time. When you are led of the Spirit, you walk into miracles. You escape the edge of the sword. Death that is sent to you, you escape it and somebody is hit by it. Why? Because you are led of the Spirit. How can you walk when you don't know the way of the wind? Hey! How can you run when you don't know the way of the Spirit? Tell me, how can you fly when you don't know the way of the wind? The power at work in you, bringing everything in obedience to God. He says, how can you walk, run, and fly? And that's what Isaiah said they will do. He said they will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not fail. Why? Because they walk, run, and fly by the wind of the Spirit. He said, he who is spiritual understands all things. He will lead you in your career. He will lead you. One of our brothers here pulled out when the angel was booming years ago, when it was now time for him to enter an expatriate position. He pulled out. His friends cursed him. Say, somebody, your village, somebody has spoken something to a calabash. That's why. Now that Donald Trump has misbehaved, when he pulled out, he became an entrepreneur, established himself. In fact, his company started eating the money of the organization. Now that Donald Trump pulled out, some of them are retrenched. They say, oh boy, you made the right decision. He was led. There are things you do now that people will insult you for, but they will praise you for tomorrow. Yeah. Moses, when he was old, when he was of age, refused to identify as Pharaoh's grandson. The Bible says he chose rather to suffer the affliction of the children of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, as if he knew that empire that looked like enjoyment was about to go down. Some of you, God is leading you to leave where you are, leave the friends that you have. But no, sometimes the Bible says be careful when they say peace, peace. When the thing they sweet you, and you don't know that just after that time, God will be saying, leave now, leave now. Walk in the Spirit means allow the Spirit of God to produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. You know why it's called fruit of the Spirit? It's not you that will generate it. Fruit means produce, product. It's the product of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Allow Him to produce it. It's not you that will try to do it. No, allow Him to work it out naturally through you. It now becomes easy, but yeah, it was supposed to be easy. You are the one trying to do it. That's why you were patient yesterday, but today you gave the person two slap. Pow, pow. Yesterday, one of yesterday and the one of today. So I don't they watch you since. It's you trying to do it. See, how do you stop an addiction? By not stopping. What do I mean? You can't stop it. That's why you are bound by it. If you could stop it, you will not be bound by it. How do you stop it? Allowing His grace to walk through you. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do according to His pleasures. The day you allow Him to step in and He takes over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Pastor Isaiah, you're welcome. Please help me celebrate Pastor Isaiah. Please bring him to the seat before him. God bless you. Help me celebrate this man of God. That's Dickness Vicky's husband. God bless you. So walk in the Spirit. Number two, how do you exercise your authority as a believer? Commitment to a life of prayer. You can't walk in your authority if you don't pray. You see the way I'm saying it, and it looks sweet. Don't pray and go and stand before a devil and just begin to talk. You can be met with an invisible slap. Listen, prayer is part of the metamorphosis that makes you become the reality of who you claim to be. It is a child of God that prays that can exercise organically their authority. That's why Jesus committed himself to prayer. Jesus prayed as though he wasn't depending on God. And you saw how prayer transformed him. Every time he came from the place of prayer, demons will scream. Sicknesses will bow. He will speak as one not of the scribe and the Pharisees, but as one that had authority. What do you think Jesus put in his mouth that he can be talking and for 3 days people will sit down? He prayed so much one time on the mountain, and he was elevated to another version of his authority, such that Moses and Elijah appeared. I wish I had time to talk about that thing. Because he has always been praying in the mountain, but they didn't appear every time. Prayer moved him to an operational position of that authority that he walked in. that allowed for, those two guys represented a system of authority in the kingdom. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. They appeared to him and then they gave him specifications that it's in Jerusalem you will die. Otherwise, he didn't know it was Jerusalem he was going to die. If you want to walk in divine authority, you must be a man of prayer. You must be a man of prayer. You must be committed to prayer. You see, when we come for miracle service and you just see me talk and things are happening, you hold somebody's hand, mention the name of somebody in another state, and the person is healed in few minutes. You think it is natural, you think no. There's prayer that goes on. There's prayer that goes on. You pray and evolve into that version that you are confessing. That's why it's called prayer life, not prayer point. It's supposed to be organic. It's part of you. What you are doing is, you are speaking the language of different levels of authority in the spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know something? I'm privileged to have military people around my life. I can tell you something. The higher they are in rank, the more dumb they are to announce themselves when they are in public. I've been around senior officers. They hardly will even call their name or mention their rank. Give me the phone. They will just start talking from the authority that they have. And nobody will tell the person on the other end that you are talking to a general. When we were to travel to Bill, you know how bad that road is. Monday morning, we're to leave on Tuesday or so, or Wednesday. I just felt led in this by the Spirit to call a friend of mine who is a major general. I called him, we're talking, and then, we are even going for outreach and all of that. You are going for outreach? Oh, Pastor, can I send support and all of that? I said, okay, that's good. I'll make sure you get the ministry account. I say, wait, where are you going for the outreach, Pastor? I say, Bill. He said, Kai, that road is bad, being somebody who has been here before. You know what he did? He says, sir, you can't go there without escort. No, that road is dangerous. Say, wait, sir, let me call you back. He took his, he caught the call, called the theater commander here. General to general. If he was a captain or maybe a lieutenant, they will be calling, who is in charge of this formation? He just called the theater commander and booked an appointment. 5 hours later, I got a call from the theater commander himself. Can you come tomorrow, sir? Yes, sir. When I entered his office, he said, Pastor, I even thought I would say an elderly person. I didn't know he was. I said, well, that's how our work is. Then he took his pen, wrote, after we finished discussing, he wrote on the paper, handed me over to a colonel. He said, he will get everything you need. That one called a captain. Say, when they are going, so that was how they moved us on a convoy to Bew and moved us back. But that guy has served over 30 years to become a general. Now, that's how prayer is and growing in authority. It's so easy that one call and he was able to capture, but it took him 30 years to get to that position. That's how it is. That's how it is. You see, as a music minister, when you keep praying and praying and praying and praying, when you have maintained a prayer life of 5 years, you can forget to pray for a ministration. When you go there and pick and sing even a song that people are laughing, the power of God will move. You know why? It's not responding to the song you sang. It's responding to a life. They asked Archbishop Benson Idahosa, what is your secret to commanding so much global influence? You preach to more whites than any black preacher. And you preach to blacks more than any white preacher. He said, I have 5 secrets. Number 1, prayer. 2, prayer. 3, prayer. 4, prayer. 5, prayer. Till he died, they used to pray 5 a.m. every day in Church of God Mission, the headquarters there. It's not today that morning prayer started. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it's a move. It's not just somebody's program. It's a move. It's not today. Since then, people like Apostle Johnson Suleiman, they just got born again and they were members. He said it, that every 5 a.m. they are going to pray. He maintained that all through his ministry. So somebody will fall from the balcony and he's still announcing. He won't move. When he finishes announcing, he goes back to the person. The head has cracked, skull open, brain out. put the brain inside, join it, pray in tongues, and the person gets back to life. It's not by luck. It's a life of prayer. Some of these men, when you hear their story, you will think it's not true until you go and ask people that lived with them. Umogbai. Some native doctors came to challenge him. What did he say? He said, once I get on that crusade, the moment you hear me singing, Tuaraya Mama, he said, just start running. That is a song we used to sing those days. And he got there, he started singing it. Tuaraya Mama. You know what? The Ebalis, they ran and got to the Ashiran. The Ashiran was burning and it burnt for 7 days. It was burning. Fire. Nobody started the fire. It, for 7 days, it was burning. Amrobah sent him a message. We are coming for you. Say, come. I'm waiting for you. When they came to the house, they went back to the elders of the village. Say, go and beg him. Why? We saw 1,000 people, 1,000 men standing in front of his gate. There's nobody there. Watch the recent PFN biennial convention. You saw him see, he uses stick to walk now at his old age. But when he sat down and started talking, people were sleeping under the anointing. It's a life of prayer. You must commit yourself. You see, life can be like a joke if you don't pray. It can be like a joke. The confidence of a believer most times is rooted in his prayer life. One person says no, the other person says yes, it's possible. The difference, their time with God. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Aratekosila. May God give us power with Him. May we have power with God and prevail. It was in the place of prayer that Jacob traveled all through the night. And he said, as a prince, you have had power with God and with men and have prevailed. You want to walk in authority as a prince, you need to embrace the place of prayer. You will need to pray even when it doesn't feel like to pray. Hallelujah. 3 more and we'll go. Number 3, you must harness the power of decrees and declarations. You want to exercise your authority as a child of God, you must understand how to harness the power of decrees and declarations. Job 22:28. And you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. Let's start from verse 27 so you know what sponsors the decree. He said, you will make your prayer to him. He will hear you. And you will pay your vows. You see the combination of prayer and sacrifice? A life of prayer and sacrifice? Then verse 28, he said, you will also declare. King James says, you will decree a thing. So when you see somebody stand and he speaks and it happens, the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power. How does a king demonstrate his power? By his words. Go and wipe out that village. That's the end. Who are you owing? This man. This man. This man. Okay, from today I cancel all your debts. That's the decree, huh? That's the power of a king. You want to speak like that as a king that God has made you? Must learn to decree things. Many of you, your life is filled with every other thing except decrees. Some of you, you can't show me things that you spoke and called into your life. In the last 5 years, you can't show me one thing that it was you. You spoke it and it came. And you were not surprised when it happened because this was what you said. I went to preach for a gentleman in December. I told you the story. How I got there and I was so tired and I don't even know. In fact, I've not even asked them for the message because I don't even know what I was preaching. I was preaching and I was sleeping while I was preaching. Is it possible somebody to stand and sleep? Yes. Can I even remember what I said in that message? But somebody was healed of 10 years fibroid. Somebody sat under that dry message and was healed of over 15 years of ulcer, chronic ulcer. I didn't pray for one sick person. Here's another testimony that blew my head the most. The man of God called me yesterday, said, "Apostle, I need to share something with you." I told my people that I just need Apostle to pass our ministry. He must not even preach. Let him just pass and there will be a shift. What happened? I said, when I had finished ministering, "Man of God, God is going to raise millionaires here." They shouted, "Amen." I said, "I see at least 5 of them here, young men. They will be nothing. All of a sudden, they will become millionaires." Say amen now. And I left. That was December 30th. January, one of his sons, who was doing well in business, is into practice. The guy, God favored him. But you know, sometimes when somebody is blessed and they buy a car and their pastor does not have a car, they need to upgrade to look for a new spiritual father. Can't follow this hour. You are saying, "Oh my God, pray that you don't become like that when God bless you." Because the heart of man, even the man himself, doesn't know where the heart is. Talk more of the tendencies there. So the guy left life hit and well. He now came back broke. So my friend prayed for him. 1 week later, he sold a property of 170 million. He called my friend. He says, "I'm paying the tithe." And I was telling my friend, I said, "Make sure you register your ministry and get an account." I was telling him that in January. I stood on his head till it happened. Barely 2 weeks after, they sent close to a million naira tithe. Then the guy said, "I'm also sending 1.7 million. Buy instrument and all the things you need." He said, "Man of God, in all the years of ministry, we have never seen this amount happen at one speed. Because somebody made a decree." The same mouth that you are listening to, this one is once. You are here listening to the same mouth. But why is nothing happening? Faith connectivity. I didn't say that thing as an apostle. I said that thing as a son of God. I knew that I appeared there for one thing, to shift the climate there. And then God gives you what you have not seen in 4 years, in 1 month, because a man of God spoke. May God anoint your tongue today. I say, may God anoint your tongue today, that your words will not fall to the ground. Let me tell you a revelation that powers my decrees. Let me tell you. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." That mouth is me. It was God that spoke, but me, I believe that mouth is me. Because I am joint heirs of God. I'm a heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. I am the body of Christ. So my hands are his hands. My mouth is his mouth. So anytime you see me, you have seen the mouth of God. And it is the word that comes out of his mouth that does not fall to the ground. So if Jonathan Lagang speaks, it must happen. I don't know what you believe about yourself. That's what I believe. I will die with it. In fact, it's one of the inheritance I'll give my children. When I'm about to leave, come. Let me pray for you people. Before I give you Jeep and car and everything, there's something I have that anytime I speak, it will happen. I'm giving you now. What will you give your children? Stories of how you suffer. Just like it was handed over to you. No. As long as the person you are seeing that is talking is the one that is before you, go and write it. It must happen. You know why? I believe that I'm the mouth of God. Me. I don't know what you believe about yourself, but me, I believe it. All you just need to do is get me to say something. Is this not pride? It's not pride. It's confidence. I'm a child of God. That's why he gave us authority, to change lives. Shift destinies. Why do people suffer around you? He said, "What said thee? What said thou? The word is near you, even in your mouth to speak." As a husband, as a father, the first word that can change your family should be your word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This mouth now that is opening to change destinies. Many years ago, a witch poisoned it and it was shut. for one full year. It was my father that prayed and it opened. Not a man of God, my father. You now think I will now become less a Christian to my children? Can't happen. Can't happen. I think I can stop here so that we can pray. You are glorious, so glorious. You are glorious, so glorious. You are glorious, so glorious in your way. And you are glorious, so glorious. You are glorious, so glorious. You are glorious, so glorious in your way. Hear me before we pray. God gave you authority so that your life on earth can demonstrate what it means to be a child of God. That authority is not for you to sleep on, it's for you to act on. The endless expectation of creation awaited the manifestations, not of men of God, of sons of God. I was watching a man of God, Prophet Makandiwa Emmanuel, last night. He said he was on a plane, a commercial plane, traveling from South Africa back to Zimbabwe. And on the plane, there was a cancer patient. In fact, the patient had one session and you could literally see death on the person. The person was dying. So they had already told them in the plane that when we land, please everybody stay, let's evacuate the emergency first. They were making calls to get ambulance on ground and everything. And he sat down. He went with his doc, his one of his members, one of his leaders who is a doctor. And then he told the doctor, he said, go and tell them that I can do something about this. So the doctor went, spoke to them, and they agreed. The person is dying already, so there's nothing to lose. Then they mentioned for Emmanuel Makandiwa to come. In fact, he said when he was going, he looked at the eyes of his doctor's son. More like the guy was saying, Papa, please don't go. Even if you don't go, I will believe you are my father. I believe you are anointed, but this one is gone. And he said God didn't tell him to go. He just knew he carried power. And he walked there and ministered to the patient. The patient told them to cancel the ambulance, that she didn't need the ambulance. When they landed, a cancer patient that was carried walked out of the plane and walked out of the airport. There was no choir there. There was no worship team. Nobody was charging the atmosphere. That's authority for you. You don't need all these parameters. You can walk in it any day, any time. A child of God that can cause change to anything. That's the mentality I carry anywhere. Time will fail me to give you testimony. There are testimonies if I share with you about myself. Let me not bring from fathers. Let me bring from amongst us here. There are things if I share with you that God, even me myself, I'm finding it hard to believe. I've seen God shift things for people. I've spoken to people and their life changed in 24 hours. I had to go to the room and start speaking over myself. That's the authority you carry. Lift your mouth, your voice and begin to pray in the spirit. I refuse to live a beggarly life. I refuse to live a life of defeat. I walk in the authority of the Spirit from today. In Jesus' name. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. I choose from today to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit all the days of my life. Open your mouth and pray that over yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Say after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I obtain grace. To build a qualitative prayer life. That will help me demonstrate. The authority. That I have. In Christ Jesus. Open your mouth and obtain grace. Obtain grace. Obtain grace. Obtain grace. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all power and position. Your name stands above them all. Give unto you authority to tread upon snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Walk in the consciousness of your authority in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, I want you to hold the hand of a neighbor. You are going to pray one prayer. And I dare you that before Miracle Sunday next week, you will come back with a testimony. Just hold the hand of a neighbor. Huh? Just two, not more than two. Get somebody you can agree with. Let's combine authority together. I want you to address any stubborn force that is responsible for any ugly pattern around your life. Hear me? Some of you, there is the pattern of delay. Some of you, there is a pattern of barrenness. Some of you, fruitlessness. Some of you, lack. Some of you, failure. Any ugly situation around your life, there is a spirit behind it. I want you to open your mouth. The Bible says, if one shall chase 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight. 10,000 demons are about to disappear now. Open your mouth and begin to confront them now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Every stubborn force of delay, of retrogression, of failure, of negative cycle. Every force of lack, of impoverishment, of poverty, of affliction, of sickness, of stagnation. Your time is up. Your time is up. Command me to go. Command me to go. Command me to go. Before miracle service, let it disappear. Your hands, I want to pray for you. Let me start with this last prayer. By the unction of the Spirit of God, and in the name that is exalted above every other name, I decree and declare, as you have said, every ugly situation, every negative cycle, every force that will not just let you rest, before next Sunday miracle service, it disappears from your life forever. Let those devils be arrested now forever. And I command a complete change and turn around. In the name of Jesus Christ. For some of you, in 24 hours, in 48 hours, in 72 hours, in 7 days, for some of you, before the sun rises tomorrow morning, let there be a turnaround and a complete change. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. Father, I ask that angels be released tonight. The grace to walk in your God-given authority, where angels will be on constant assignment on your behalf. Let that grace rest upon your life from today. That anything that has refused to move in your life, they are moving by the speed of angels now. They are moving by the speed of angels now. They are moving by the speed of the Spirit. In the days ahead, your decree will command action. Your decree will command power. Your decree will command miracles. You will speak and it will not fall to the ground. Finally, this one is against your enemies. He said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you. You see, the devil understands the strategy, understands the formula. It's by the spoken word. Authority is demonstrated by words. Now I bring to judgment every tongue that has spoken evil against you. Every tongue that has spoken evil against you, I judge them now. I judge them now. I judge them now. You hear me? Anyone that spoke negativity into your life, may they become victims of what they have said. I declare that you will not die. You will walk in power. You will walk in victory. I declare that you are an overcomer. From today, you will no longer chase resources.
resources will answer to you. I place an anointing on your life that attracts possibilities. You didn't hear what I said. I place an anointing on your life that attracts possibilities. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, command results every day. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Clap your hands and give him praise. He is Lord. He is Lord. Amen. He has risen from the dead. He is the Lord. Every knee must bow. Problems, the knee of stubborn situations. The knee means the weakest point. That's why prayer, hear me? That's why prayer is symbolized with going on your knees. Because the knee of a thing is the weakest point. So prayer brings you to your weakest so that God can become your strongest. You will know that Jesus is Lord. You will see God honor your words in this season. God will use your own tongue to shape your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Are you blessed tonight? Before we go, while you are standing, I said the key and the only key to accessing this divine authority, which in my opinion is the highest honor given to any man, is that you must be born again. Please, everybody standing everywhere, except the counselors who may be moving. If you want to be born again, you want to experience what it means to be born of God and possess this authority that God has given to the sons of men. Wherever you are, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me and mean it from the depths of your heart. It is only your authority in Christ that keeps you above the devil and the situations of life. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation. I accept you today as my Lord, and I walk from today in your authority. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, your sins have been forgiven. You are now a child of God. You are now born of the Spirit, and you have the right of sonship, which is walking in divine authority. I want to just pray the grace of God over your life briefly. If you made that prayer, please run to the front as quick as you can so that I can pray for you. I'm waiting for you, whether you are outside or you are inside. Please come quickly. Don't be ashamed of who is around you. If you made that prayer, you are now a child of God. Come. We want to seal you by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Please clap for them as they come. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to lift up your right hand. You are born again and you now have victory over sin. I declare that your sins are forgiven. You are a child of God. You have authority over the devil, over sin, over Satan, over death, over hell and the grave. And I decree and declare from today, that you will grow in the Spirit, you will grow in grace, you will serve the Lord and become a terror to the camp of the enemy. Everything that has stopped you before now will die completely from your life. You will begin to pursue the things that pursued you before. The power of witchcraft and satanic manipulations are broken off your life in the name of Jesus Christ. It is well with you today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.